Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Listeners, did you know each year Americans throw away 25% more trash from Thanksgiving to New Year's? This year, let's turn our New Year's resolution into actions that make a difference by switching to Blue Land. An estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year. And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for us and the planet. But Blue Land has made it their mission to do something about it. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design that looks great on your counter. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Refills start at just $2.25. Tab and I are loving Blue Land. We love how great the products work and smell, and the space saving from just having refillable tablets to store instead of bulky bottles is great. Also, we love having it shipped to our doors. It's so convenient and just one less thing to think about at the grocery store. And hello, Blue Land saves you money and helps the planet. What is not to love about that? Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. That's blueland.com/clink to get 15% off.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome,
Housewives of True Crime.
Here we are again.
4th of July issue.
Oh, yeah. 4th yeah. of July. Happy birthday, America.
I'm wearing my red, white, and blue.
Oh, my God. You are.
The only problem is it says après ski, so it's in the wrong season. It's red, white, and blue.
What is that après ski?
I don't know. It's something people say.
Are you drunk? Tab just went home from dinner. Full disclosure, we both went out to dinner.
Oh my God.
And are now recording. We usually record in the morning when we're after a couple caffeinated beverages and we're all like on fire.
I know. Dude, I kind of was a little worried because this case I need to be on fire for. But I did have a couple glasses of wine because, you guys, I haven't in a while. And I needed to take an edge off. Just saying. It might be my kids. It might be my marriage. Probably the latter, but it was one of them.
Like it is, sister. Uh-huh. Listen, I think we all hear you. You know, that's the thing about summer. A lot of close family time.
No,
maybe too much close, too much family, and the hot. It's not working for us, right?
I know.
It's good until it's not good.
I know.
I think I'm better in the cold. I'm a kinder, gentler, better parent.
Look, there's my shirt for you. You guys are watching
on. It says Capri Ski. I knew it was like something.
If you guys are watching on YouTube.
Not 4th of July at all.
No, like, it's red, white, and blue. Okay. Appraise. You don't even see it. My hair is covering it because it's so long because I use the five crimes. I went to Capitol Grill. You guys have one? I heard right in the... I think somewhere in Orange County.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it actually. I believe they have, it's like Asian something. It's like they have dim sum.
Definitely not Asian. It's a steakhouse.
Oh, well, then I don't really, I don't know.
I had French onion soup and a filet and a wedge.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't get out much. Excuse moi. I did get out to the dentist this week. Let me tell
you,
one of these,
you never go there.
Oh, no, I didn't go. No, I never go. I took my children.
Oh. I was like, that's surprising.
But this was one of those fun moments.
I like that.
My son wasn't moments. It was, yeah, right? That was accidental. I mean, that's really good. So my son was in the dentist chair and she tells him, you know, buddy, you don't have any cavities. You know, you're good. Go get your prize. And he looks at her and he's like, I know. I don't even brush.
Oh my gosh. That's what I think about flossing. I'm like, do you really need to?
Do you really have to tell her that?
About brushing your teeth, maybe.
And in the morning that we went to the dentist, you know, because I'm like the night before, I'm like, oh my God, okay, brush your teeth. And then that morning before, so, you know, nobody wants stink breath in their face while they're cleaning their teeth. He's like, twice in a row? I'm like, yeah, twice in a row. I'm like, you know, you're supposed to brush your teeth twice a day. And he's like, he thought that was the funniest thing I ever said. He's like, you're kidding me, right?
You're like, no, I've been telling you that since you were born.
I really have, I swear. And you know, the girls, they love their toothbrushes and their toothpaste. Somehow the boy gets lost in the shuffle. I guess I just am not keeping up with him. But he doesn't have
any cavities, so it's okay.
He never has. What are you going to do?
I know. Seriously, I have one that has them and I have one that never has them. The one that also doesn't brush his teeth like he should. I think it's all genetic. I had a freaking million cavities, like, and brush my teeth. Like I have no, I brush my teeth like a freaking maniac and I still have a cavity, you know? So I don't know. I think it's
a wash.
It's somewhat, I don't know. I don't have anything to say. I think if you get braces, because I've had braces a million times, ask Gretchen, it helps. Your teeth are all straight.
Yeah. You know what I'm really looking forward to is Tab has been on the 10-year-long Invisalign program.
It's true.
My daughter is halfway through her Invisalign program.
Oh, no.
I cannot wait until she finishes. like she graduates before you.
Oh, she's going to. I have been on tray 20. I don't even think it's 20. I think it's like 17 for probably 5 months. I wear it sometimes. I don't wear it. It's getting, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Will is going to pass you up. Yeah, she's got fine. You beat. She can't wait. She's like, I'm on fire.
Oh,
can't
good.
Wait.
Good for Willow. What's on fire right now is this case.
Yeah. I watched today. So we are recording this on Wednesday, June 26th in the evening. Mm-hmm. And I watched the closing arguments and I watch this attorney. He's on fire.
Alan Jackson.
Karen Reed's attorney. Yeah. He's arguing with the judge. There was a blurb came out. I got a little notice on my court TV.
I know. Court TV is really covering
it. He's like, you know what? I don't really appreciate the way your jury forms are written.
Oh, I know. I saw that. That was before the closing arguments. He came up and talked about how he didn't
He came back and argued it again.
Oh,
and the
did.
Judge said, yes, he did just now. And the judge said, well, yeah, I told you I was tired and I didn't want to think about that. And he's like, well, you know, did you get some sleep, lady? And she's like, yeah, I think it's fine. And he's like, well, actually, it's not. And she's like, well, it's fine in this state. And he's like, well, it
isn't
fine in general, and I don't appreciate it. And he had a lot of thoughts.
Dude, this guy is, I'm telling you, hire him for me. If I ever need a defense attorney, he's the one that I need. But also,
it's not really working both sides. I feel like you got to stay on the judges because I'm like, you're really taking
listen,
her off.
I'm telling you, this judge is...
She's over him.
Well... She needs a little talking to.
She does.
Yes.
She wants to get under him.
I think that at some point she should have been like, okay, this is a mistrial. She should have declared a mistrial long ago when she saw so much. There is clear evidence that these people have manipulated evidence. I think at that point you say, I'm going to declare a mistrial until you can get your shit together. And she hasn't. And so... To me, I'm like,
well, I
lady judge, you're okay. Cute and you seem like you're put together and you're with it. But there is something
judge.
I love a lady judge. That's why I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. But there's things that I can't get past.
And, well, you know that. I mean, it kind of brings around the whole conversation about whether these cases should be televised or not. Because I think maybe when it's on, she's like, I don't want to let the people down. Maybe she's thinking like, can't call it, Tab.
Okay. So do you think it should be televised or shouldn't?
I have to give that some more thought. Okay. Let's hear it. What's your argument today?
So, I know it's so different than it was before. So this is my redemption case. I have totally changed my mind on the Karen Reed trial. And I want to tell you that I left facts out and I heard all of you loud and clear. And I didn't, I will admit that I did not have the time it took to really dig deep before. I read the news articles, and to really get the facts of the case, I had to watch the case and it took freaking hours. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched enough of it. And I had to do some dirty sleuthing, which, you know, I love to do. Gretchen loves to do. We all love to do. And so I spent lots and lots.
And
of
I just want to make that. I just want to make it clear that, I mean, we actually do a lot of research for all of the cases that we do. We read generally like the whole case file and.
But there's no case file.
Additional. But yeah, but it's just it's kind of different
when it's not
when it's ongoing.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no case file at the moment, right? There's news articles and all the news articles. It's weird. When you Google, it's almost like it's a conspiracy. Like there's not the like defense facts. It's all prosecution, which I will say that's generally what we go on because that is we're hoping that the state or the Commonwealth or the prosecution has enough evidence and they're being truthful in their indictment of somebody, especially for murder, that they are not, there's no conspiracy here, but I don't think that's the case here.
So this was an exception.
This is an exception to the rule. Also, by the time this airs, which will be on Monday, I hope to have a verdict. So it may be a little bit different than what I'm telling you now. I don't know. We're recording on Wednesday, like Gretchen said, and this comes out on Monday. So the death of Boston police officer John O'Keefe and his girlfriend Karen Reed has been under speculation, under internet's microscope for 2 years. His cause of death has been determined to be blunt force trauma to the head, remember, and hypothermia after spending hours outside of the home of fellow Boston police officer during a blizzard on January 2022. But the real question is, how did John end up there? The defense believes that Karen dropped John off at Brian Albert's home, who is also a police officer, and there was a fight between John and a person or persons inside the house. John was severely beaten, put outside, and left for dead in the storm. The defense's theory is that the police proceeded to cover up the entire crime and concocted a conspiracy to pin it on Karen, the girlfriend, which is where I initially told you guys that story sounds fucking crazy.
She backed him up.
Yeah. I said, how could this happen? This is like 2024. We are far beyond this police conspiracy. And it probably was this pretty little thing just backing up into him in a fit of rage. She was drunk, whatever. And I'm telling you right now, I don't think that that is what happened. I actually believe that the defense hit the nail on the head. The prosecution believes that Karen backed her Lexus SUV over John following an argument that they had that night as they pulled up to Brian's home. And she is the one that left Brian in the cold to die. If you remember from our last case that I told you, John's physical appearance, he was 6'2". Karen drove this Lexus SUV, which was big, but not one of those like huge ones. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say that John's injuries that he sustained could have actually been caused by an SUV backing up to him. Karen said she dropped John off at Brian Albert's house after party. They left the bar and they went to Brian Albert's house. She didn't feel well, and she said she didn't really know anybody that was there. Karen does have Crohn's disease, but I think it probably was the 9 vodka sodas that Karen had to drink that made her feel off. 9, Gretchy. Maybe 10. And that's from, that's like video surveillance. Like, we know that she had that much to drink.
Yeah, girl, I can put them away, but that's a lot.
That's a lot. And Karen's a little girl.
Even for me. Yes. Yeah. Not to be judgy McJudge or bitch, but.
I know. It's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yes. Also, to just be totally honest with you, Karen and John were not at a good place at this time. They were arguing a lot, and they were contemplating the status of their relationships. Their relationship. Since John's house was less than 3 miles away, she figured she would just drive home and have no issues, and John would get home however he was going to get home. Uber, friend, whatever. She claims that she watched him walk to the side of the house and enter, and then she waited for a minute, didn't hear from him, so she left. Okay, let me take you back to the beginning. Before Brian Albert's house, Karen and John were at the bar. They were knocking back the drinks. Karen has what I told you, 9 to 10 vodka sodas. And she probably weighs 115 max, by the way.
Yeah.
When they leave the last bar where a bunch of law enforcement guys are all partying together, they go to Brian Albert's house. Jennifer McCabe is John's friend. She texts him and says, "Hey, come to Brian's house." Now, if you remember from the last episode, we have a Brian Albert whose home that John was found at. And then we also have another Brian Higgins that was there that night. Brian Higgins and Karen had a little thing on the side. Remember that?
Yeah.
She not only sent Brian Higgins flirting text messages at one time, not this night, but previously, but she also had kissed him. Brian also was recently informed that John knew that she kissed him from John's Ring camera outside of his house. He basically told Karen, like, he doesn't need the drama. And that's it. That's kind of where they left their text conversation. But when he saw Karen pull up with John at the bar that night, he did send her one last text message that said, like, U-M-M-M-M-M, and then, well. Like, maybe he was shocked that she was still with her man.
Yeah.
Not sure what he meant by that. She didn't return any text message from him. It is telling a little bit, right? What is he saying by like, well, I think he's saying, well, I guess you're still with him and not with me. Yeah. So Jennifer McCabe sends John the address to this house. She also calls him to give him directions. She texts John a few more times telling him to like pull in behind a certain car. And then she keeps continuously texting him, like, where are you? Are you coming? We know that John and Karen arrived to the house around 12:20 in the morning. And still more text messages from Jennifer come in. She does testify to the fact that she did see Karen's vehicle pull in the driveway. And she says she saw Karen's car move. But she says that she never saw John outside, never saw Karen leave with John. Like, she just says she never, ever saw John. He didn't come to the house, and she never saw him outside of the house, even when she was looking, you know, through the yard. I do find the urgency of getting John to the Alberts house a little sus, but I also think maybe if you want your friend to come to an after party, you're kind of an eager friend.
I also feel like it's just really hard to depend on all these people's accounts of what happened, because if little Miss Karen is having 9 to 10 drinks, which I don't know how she can
drive a
really
car,
testify to like anything. Yeah. And she certainly shouldn't have been driving, because it's not all clear. Time
That's right.
escapes you, like when you're in that state.
Yes.
There are big gaps.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So according to Karen, she didn't want to go in with John because, like I told you, she wasn't feeling well. But I also think because the dude who she kissed, who John knows about, right, and supposedly is John's friend, is also at the party. And I think it's probably not a good idea. So she says she waits a couple minutes and then drove off, making a 3-point turn. Once she gets home, it's 12:36. We know this because her phone picks up to John's Wi-Fi at 12:36.
Okay.
It takes a minimum of 6 minutes to get from Brian's house to John's house, and that's on a good day, and this is a snowy day. So let's just say she left at 12:30. She gets there at 12:36. She calls John at 12:37. John doesn't answer. And she proceeds to bombard John with calls and texts and voicemails. And this is like what she says.
That's what you do when you've had 9 to 10 cocktails. Nine. Rage text.
I know. It's totally. She leaves him a message like this. I fucking hate you, John.
Mm-hmm.
And then calls another time and she says, John, you're such a piece of shit. And then she calls John again and says, I know you're with another woman. I mean, like, I know it sounds fucking nuts, but I think when you've had 10 drinks, you're nuts.
Yeah. When you get to that nuts place.
I know. Ugh. Okay.
Well done it.
Yeah. So she then says that she's going to leave. And then she doesn't leave. And then she says, John, your kids are going to be here by theirself. And then she doesn't leave again. And really what that's telling me is she's just basically begging him to answer her text or either come home. Because like she says, your kids are going to be home alone. And then he doesn't show up. So then she calls back 15 minutes later. She calls upwards of 50 times, which is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I think she passes out for a second, and then just before 5 a.m., she wakes up and she realizes that John didn't come home and did not answer any of her text messages. And this is when she begins to think, well, shit, this isn't like him, and maybe something happened to him. At first, I thought, well, this is really weird. Remember, I was like, if this happened to Sean and he went to your house, I would be like, okay, he's passed out on your couch. But I don't think Brian Albert was that close of a friend. He didn't even know where Brian Albert lived, right? Jennifer McCabe had to tell him the address and then call him to kind of direct him to his house. It might have been a fellow police officer, but it wasn't a friend that he even knew where he lived.
Okay. And also I'm thinking, I think when you told me this story and we're hearing about people going out and having 9 to 10 cocktails and making bad choices, I think we put ourselves in the position that we were like in our 20s.
Yeah,
that was the last time we did stuff like this.
That's true.
And we would just go spend the night on whoever's couch because that would have been smarter than making 3-point turns in the snow and driving 3 miles, right?
Right.
Actually, how old are these people? She's a financial advisor or something. They've got to be like in their 40s.
Yeah, she's
like,
44. She's our age. They're our age.
Yeah. So I don't crash at random. Like, I don't know. I haven't crashed at anyone's house.
And leave your kids at home.
And left my kids at home. Yeah.
By themselves.
Ever.
Yeah.
And we're not at the age where that house crashing happens.
Yeah. So
yeah, we're past that.
I think that is why she starts flipping out.
So I can see, yeah, at 44, you're like, oh shit, he didn't come home. Yeah.
Yes. And that is like, oh, and then remember, she wakes up the niece because John had adopted his niece and nephew because his sister had died years prior. Right. So at this point, they are his kids. And she wakes up the niece to call Jennifer's phone. I originally was like, why would she do that? Why would she wake up the niece to call the friend? That's really weird. But turns out that she didn't have Jennifer's number. The niece had Jennifer's number because it was John's friend, but Karen being the girlfriend, it was John's friend. It wasn't Karen's friend, so she didn't have her number. So that part was bugging me at first, but now I totally understand that that's why she had to wake up the niece to call Jennifer McCabe. So Karen calls Jennifer and another friend, and they all go to retract the steps, right? Like, where were they? When they pulled up to Brian's house, Karen sees a mound next to a flagpole and runs to see what it is. And it's John. Karen immediately starts going into hysterics. Jennifer calls 911, and her 911 call is very calm and collected. You can hear Karen in the background going batshit, and she pulls up her shirt. She lays on John's frozen body to try to get him warm, and she starts giving her boyfriend mouth to mouth. Jennifer then calls her sister, who lives inside the house. The McCabes are actually like, or not the McCabes, Jennifer's a McCabe. The sister's name is Nicole Albert, and she is the wife of Brian Albert. So she calls her sister. No one answers. So she goes inside the house and inside her sister's bedroom with her brother-in-law to tell them that their friend and fellow officer is on their lawn, basically dead or dying. Now, here's something that's totally mind-blowing. Neither Brian or Nicole Albert come out of their house to see what's going on.
Yeah, that is.
What the what? Brian is an officer of the law, and he does not come outside to see his, like, buddy that is on the lawn outside. I mean, if he has nothing to do with this, why would he hide behind his door? That is really mind-blowing to me. Like, Gretchen, if if somebody was out, I don't even care if it was not a friend.
What? Listen.
You would be out there and be like, what happened?
My neighbor that I never met had the damn heart attack across the street. I was outside.
I know.
Yeah.
So your sister is, your buddy's outside and dead, like dying. Mm-hmm. You would be out there in a fucking heartbeat. This is like real weird to me. So the initial police report stated that John had 6 lacerations to his right arm. Both of his eyes were swollen shut and black and blue. And his right eye had a laceration on the eyelid. His clothes were saturated with blood and vomit. And one of his Nike tennis shoes was knocked off of his body. The autopsy results listed in the report, according to the medical examiner, provided a different description of John's injuries. The lacerations on his right arm were referred to as abrasions to his forearm. It also indicated that he had 2 swollen black eyes, a small cut above his right eye, a cut to his left side of his nose, and an approximate 2-inch laceration to the back of his head. His skull was fractured in multiple places that resulted in bleeding. His pancreas was also bright red that indicated the hypothermia, which contributed to the factor in his death. The actual photos of John's arm, which I have since seen, are different from both of those accounts. I can see 14 or more scrapes, some over 2 inches long on his upper part of his arm. And some of these wounds are super deep. There's about 5 or 6 like above his elbow and 10 or more below his elbow. Some of them I might call abrasions, but some of them are really deep wounds. So that's weird. Yeah. Like his autopsy photos are definitely strange. John was transported to the hospital. Oh, and let me just ask you, because I know you haven't done any research on this case besides the closing arguments and that last thing. What would you think if I told you somebody's autopsy looked like that? 2 black eyes, a cut above the eye.
Yeah, I mean, it would sound like there was some kind of altercation.
A fight. Like he got punched. Mm-hmm. The lacerations on the arm are totally not.
But then again, I don't really know. You could have, I mean, if you were smacked in the back of the car, maybe some part of it broke and cut your eye. I mean,
Yeah, he's 6'2", by the way. But
I mean,
okay. I know. That's what I thought at first. I thought for sure, dude, the guy, like, she hit him and he fell on the road.
Is it rocky? I mean, it just seems like if there are lacerations, there should be a real easy explanation.
Right.
I mean, the more concerning part is that, like, why doesn't the pictures match the report?
Yeah, that's
what I'm hearing.
That's also weird, too, right? And the 2 different people, like, that even the medical examiner's report isn't consistent of what actually is the photo.
Yeah.
So John was transported to the hospital where Karen rode with John's parents. John's mom questioned Karen in the car as to why she would leave John at a party. I can imagine that John's mom's like frantic and is, what do you mean you left him? You know, and John's dad's like, honey, just, you know, it's not Karen's fault that, you know, he wanted to go to the party. At the hospital, Karen was super frantic. She was yelling like, is he alive? Is he alive? In the emergency room. I mean, I've been in an emergency room situation when somebody was in the hospital dying. And I know that that is typical behavior.
Yeah.
Back at the crime scene, or whatever kind of scene that you want to say was going on there, they found broken pieces of glass from a cocktail glass that John had taken from the bar. That was next to him. His cell phone was also underneath him. There was blood in the snow, which was collected with some Solo cups. You remember that they got from an officer that lived across the street because they didn't really have anything to collect this evidence with. They also grabbed a leaf blower to blow some snow off slowly to see what they could find underneath, layer by layer. There's a lot of kind of people don't like that they got the leaf blower. But when you watch the video, it doesn't seem like it would, I don't know. You're trying to preserve evidence, right? But it's snowing and you're trying to see what's underneath the snow. And so what's the best way to do that? I'm not really sure. A leaf blower is probably not the right way to do it. But it didn't seem to like blow the snow like all over the place when I watched the video. Okay. And it was really snowing and very windy at the time. A state trooper was called onto the scene. His name is Michael Proctor, who ironically was real good friends with the homeowner. So much so, like, his cousin was in the wedding and they've had a lot of stuff together in their family. Why not get your buddy to come investigate the crime scene outside of your house? This is also the guy I told you about that was writing derogatory comments about Karen, which at the time I thought he was just an officer that was like at the scene. I didn't really realize that he was a lead investigator. So I take back what I said before about, you know, his inappropriate text just being a dude's dude.
Bad choice. Inappropriate. Yeah.
He's all of that. And he admits to being inappropriate, but he took it a little too far. In one of his text messages, he said that he hoped that Karen killed herself.
That is insane.
Right?
That's not something you would ever say about anyone really in any circumstance.
No. And I think the only reason that you would say that is so that your sorry excuse of an officer doesn't get found out for what you've been doing.
Well, that's a reason.
Yeah.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese. And now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about, get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward.
Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
So while Proctor is texting his sister and his other friends all about the case and Karen's looks and her disease and everything else, what he's not doing is monitoring everybody that was at that bar and at that house that night that are congregating together. Proctor does not get a search warrant for the home at all, ever, ever. They never searched that home. He basically takes the word from the people that they never saw Brian. He never made it in the house. However, he does know that Jennifer McCabe said she saw him outside the house, or at least Karen's car outside the house. Now, back at the hospital, John's pronounced dead and Karen is admitted to the hospital because she's basically having a mental breakdown. And I think in Massachusetts, I can't remember what they call it, but basically it's like a 5150, right? Mm-hmm. So they take Karen in, they check her out, they get her blood taken, and then they release her. She goes back with her parents to her house, and then she drives her SUV to her parents' house. A few hours go by and she is called by the investigator to turn over her SUV and her cell phone and to talk to the police, which she does. But before that, she Googles a DUI attorney, which I didn't realize that she Googled this after they took her blood. And the Commonwealth, which is the prosecution, would later try to say that that is her admission to guilt for killing her boyfriend. But Karen didn't look for a criminal defense attorney or a homicide attorney. She simply looked for a DUI attorney, I think, because they took her blood, dude, and she knows she was fucking wasted.
Yeah, and I still think she needs a DUI.
She for sure needs a DUI.
Yeah.
Girlfriend, sorry, girl, should not have been driving.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you were with a bunch of police officers that had seen you pounding those drinks.
That's ridiculous.
All of you guys. And all of you drove.
Let's just
not talk about Karen. I'm sure they all drove their cars to their house.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, this is the least of their worries at this point. Seriously.
Yeah.
So the judge actually allowed that girl Google search into evidence on the basis of admitting guilt. And this is just one of the things that make you go,
that is a stretch.
I know. So now you have all these people that were at the bar and grill and at the house congregating, and you have Karen's car getting towed to the Sallyport station somewhere just after 4 o'clock. We know this because there's video surveillance. Well, kind of some video surveillance that I will get to in a second that states the time that Karen's vehicle got there. So then just after 5 o'clock, investigators find the first piece of broken taillight. And then another officer that's off duty driving by the house ends up finding like three more pieces of broken taillight, which, by the way, they never found at the scene of the crime when it happened. Only after they collected Karen's vehicle did they find these broken taillight pieces. Karen was soon arrested and charged for involuntary manslaughter from the district court. But then after they brought her in, they indicted her by a grand jury for second degree murder, which in Massachusetts is like, it carries a life sentence. So second degree is not like California. You know, like second degree in California means like you didn't mean to do it.
Yeah.
Second degree here means you did mean to do it. Ooh. Now, when they charge her with the second degree, she is dumbfounded. And I'm going to play you this clip because they have it from the cop's like body cam. She basically says, "You realize that John's been beaten up at Brian Albert's house." She's like, "John was pulverized and I have a cracked tail light." She's, "We're all on the same joke, right?" And you'll hear it, how she says it. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that this could have been like an open and shut case if everybody kept their mouth shut, if Karen wasn't well-educated, intelligent, had money to get an attorney, all those things, right?
Yeah.
Also, if the police in Massachusetts didn't have a good old boy reputation that people in the state were pretty much over, I think it could have been just like, she hit him, we're done. But Karen was smart enough to get herself a real good defense attorney. And it would change the case around and bring some light to the true injustices of the people of Massachusetts. And they are really not standing for it. So in this time that they're getting this case together, her attorneys get a call regarding John O'Keefe's neighbor, whose name is Colin Albert. We talked about him a little before. Colin was at the party with him. And in this call, somebody states that there was a firearms cop, which is Higgins, Brian Higgins, and Colin Albert, who killed John O'Keefe, and a German Shepherd that attacked John. This is where we get John's arm wounds. It's also weird because no one at that party, no one that the police ever interviewed, ever mentioned that 18-year-old Colin Albert, the nephew of Brian Albert, was even there. It's almost like everybody knew not to say that he was at the party that night. Karen's attorneys tried to get this person that called to sign an affidavit, but that person refused. I don't know why. So her attorney turned all this information in, and this ensued a federal investigation by the FBI, which is still ongoing, Gretchy. So this whole case is actually being looked beyond what we're talking about today, beyond what's going on with Karen Reed. It's also being looked at by the FBI.
Okay.
And separately. So this is an interesting theory. No one mentioned Colin being there at the Albert's house for months, but then they had to like admit that he was there because there was phone records and such that were made available that Colin was actually at Brian O'Keefe's house, or at Brian Albert's house the night of O'Keefe's death. The prosecution claims that Colin left before John even showed up, but when you get Colin on the stand, he can't remember anything. The whole time he's on the stand, he says he doesn't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember. It was really fucking frustrating to watch. I wanted to like punch him. We do know that that Colin has a history of acting like a tough guy, writing shit like, "I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to beat the shit out of you." Stuff like that. Real classy kind of guy. He also is seen in a photo just weeks after John's death with scraped and bruised knuckles on his hand. He claims that he fell on some ice and that's how he braced himself. I'm not really sure if I would brace myself with my knuckles. Probably not, but that's how he says he has braced himself from falling on ice. This is also where the dog theory comes in. The Alberts had a German Shepherd who we know was there that night. They had this dog for 7 years. And he was known to bite people. He had at least bitten one other woman outside of their home. And multiple experts have testified that they believe John's arm looks like an animal attack. So I did do a search on dog attacks on arms. And dude, it does look like it.
Okay.
There is also an FBI expert who got on the stand that was not hired by the defense or the prosecution, who was hired for this FBI investigation that's going on separately, that said John's injuries are not that of a motor vehicle collision, but of what it looks like to them is an animal attack. It's been stated by multiple people that these injuries look like dog bites, scratches, something like that. Another weird fact about this damn dog is that the Alberts, shortly after John died, got rid of their dog that they had for 7 years. And when questioned on the stand, she was like, I didn't get rid of my dog. She's like, I rehomed my dog.
Oh.
Same thing, honey.
Same thing. Yeah, same.
When the state trooper Proctor was on the stand, he was questioned about these text messages, but they also pull up a video of the car pulling into the Sallyport station. Remember, I told you they took the car around for something and they pulled it into the station. Here you see, you can actually see them pulling the car into the station. Somehow that video is missing and they can't find it. But you do see a portion of the video where the car is there and Proctor, who, or it looks like Proctor, it's kind of grainy. We think he's standing there with the evidence bag in hand on the left side of the vehicle. You see a couple other police officers or people mulling around. And they're basically trying to prove that Proctor never once went to the right side of the vehicle where the taillight was. So they have him on the stand. They have this vehicle pulled up and they have a timestamp that's clear as day that says four whatever in the afternoon. Proctor is like, yes, I never went near that portion of the vehicle. The next day on cross-examination, Karen's defense attorney gets up there and makes a real mind-blowing accusation, which is true, is that this video has been altered and it was inverted to make it look like Proctor was standing on the left side of the vehicle when actuality he was standing on the right side of the vehicle right next to her supposed broken piece of glass or broken taillight. And then, like I told you, they found taillight pieces 30, 45 minutes later. So they literally inverted this video.
How do they prove that?
The defense had the original video.
Oh.
So the prosecution put up this inverted video, which was, I would say, like, oh, maybe it was a mistake. But it wasn't a mistake because they had to remove the timestamp, turn the timestamp around to make it look right.
Yeah.
Right? It was totally put in like that. This is where I'm telling you. If I was the judge, I would have stopped right there and been like, I'm sorry. Like, we're done.
Shady. Yeah.
This is shady ass shit. What are we doing?
Yeah. Aren't there like legal consequences for that? Did we get like disbarred for shit?
I'm mind blown. I don't know. Everything that this defense attorney, and this is all from just the prosecution's witnesses. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, wow. The defense only pulled like three witnesses up at like they only brought three like people up when it was their turn because they didn't have to. The prosecution like dug their hole for themselves. So all the officers at the party were called to the stand one by one. And I think they just made like utter fools of themselves. You have Brian Higgins, who was supposedly supposed to turn over his cell phone, say like on a Tuesday, and on Monday he trashed his phone and destroyed his SIM card. He says he has some sorry excuse for it. Like somebody was calling me that I was like giving a ticket to and he wanted to like get rid of his phone. I call BS on that. And
yeah,
you destroyed your SIM card too. What do you have to hide, extra. Mr. Brian Higgins? Yeah. Also Jennifer McCabe, she has calls and texts in her log that she put into trash from that day. I don't know why she would have done that. I don't know why she wants to hide what she's doing. She also supposedly butt dialed John a bunch of times during that night, which I think is also super weird. But the weirdest piece of all with this girl is that infamous hose long to die in the cold, right? She meant to say, how long does it take to die in the cold? But she put like hose long. So now all these people are wearing shirts that say that. This search came in from her phone at 2:27 in the morning. She says that she didn't search that until 6:30. However, the defense claims that by phone experts, it says 2:27. Prosecution has some other experts that like extracted her phone differently and say that she pulled up the browser at 2:27, but didn't actually search for those terms until later. She also searched a term, which I find is really strange. That was something like how long it takes food to digest in your stomach, which we kind of know is something like morbid also, right? Like,
yeah.
So there's some weird things.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's one of those things. Like if it walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, I usually call it a duck, right? But I also am one of those people who, you know, I am known for buying crazy supplements and all kinds of pants in the middle of the night.
I know.
Whatever. I'm like, squirrel. Like that's I me. Can be in the middle of an episode or something and think, well, I do wonder how long does it take to die in the cold or like whatever. I mean, I don't know. And if I had 10 vodka sodas and I'm watching CIS or something, like maybe I would.
Now,
I don't know.
Here's another thing about her is that her Apple Watch tracked that she got home at, I don't know, 1 something in the morning and she paced all night. Never went to sleep. And they were able to get some information on, and this is all, not all of the information, you guys. I could talk for like hours on everything, but a couple of the like key facts here is they were able to extract some data off of John's phone, and the defense expert came to say that John's phone tracked his movement that night, getting out of the car and walking somewhere in the vicinity, and this all comes from like iPhone Health, you know, like that health app. Mm-hmm. In the early mornings of January 29, 2022, the analysts determined that John's phone tracked him taking 80 steps and climbing an equivalent of 3 floors with his location in like the Albert's residence. So according to this expert, his reasonable interpretation of the Apple Health data is that John entered Albert's home, which was 3 floors. They had a basement floor, regular floor, and then the second floor. Between 12:31 and 12:32, Apple Health recorded John taking 36 steps with no elevation gain. So that is what the defense says. Prosecution says, based on Waze data, that John got there later, but Waze has since said that their stuff is not always accurate and that he did not take any steps. But I kind of tend to agree with Apple Health. I will tell you, I look at that shit all the time and it's pretty accurate.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, I compare it to like my Orange Theory, like little
echo.
Listen, you could be right, but I'm like, which one is right? Because they don't match.
Well, the Orange Theory one you're wearing on your heart, right? You're wearing it around, like you're strapping it around you.
Like you're like your upper arm.
Oh, well, that's
Or sometimes I'm running on the, you know, I'll be running on the treadmill and I'll be like, okay, well, let's see what if my Apple Watch is saying I'm running the same amount as the treadmill. Who's right?
I do believe that the Apple Watch is not always right.
It's not always right.
No.
I mean, it's always close.
It's close. I know. I mean, I have this Aura ring and the Apple Watch. It's not even close, actually. My Aura ring tells me I'm not even walking, basically.
You're so in love with your Aura ring.
No, I was. But then it's like my... No,
it's telling you you're a slop.
It is. It's like, you've walked 4,000 steps a day. I'm like, fuck you. I've walked more than that, asshole. But anyways, like I tend to believe... It's not going to say that he walked 3 floors if he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got his Apple stuff saying this. You've got Jennifer McCabe, his friend, you know, pacing back and forth. I mean, all of it is super, super, just, there's just too many holes in this case, right? There's too many things that I think that just are not adding up. So not until September 2022 did Karen's lawyers publicly accuse the Alberts family of being implicated in John's murder, and they ordered them not to delete anything further from their phones. Then 2 weeks later, Tom Albert posted a new profile picture on his Facebook account where he said, "I stand by my family 100%. You don't fuck with them. You do, and I won't hesitate to make you the most miserable person." Which, it's like, Tom, really? Like, if,
yeah, that reminds me of like when Will Smith, you know, like slapped Chris Rock, and his son tweeted out at that moment, like, "Yeah, that's how we do it."
Oh my God! Like, it's like, walk it back. That's not how we do it.
That's not how we do it when we're grown-ups.
We need to do the right thing, and none of you have done the right thing. And I will tell you that there has been a long history of cover-ups in this family. The Albert family has consistently gotten in trouble and has been consistently helped by the police, because they all are police, right?
The Murdaughs. Like, sounds the way, like the Murdaughs.
Totally. It is. So the other weird thing is that everybody kind of left the party in around the same time. And, you know, I told you about Higgins. Well, he suddenly had to do some administrative work at the Canton Police Department at 1:30 in the morning. Which is like, was he just trying to see if somebody would call 911? Or he wouldn't leave the party and go to like work at 1:30 in the morning. Got to do some work.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something so weird. Police discovered a single hair on Karen's bumper, along with some shards of glass that mysteriously stayed on the bumper that actually didn't have to do with anything. They're saying that it was all frozen to the bumper, which maybe, even if it was John's hair on the bumper, I don't think that really says anything. The other thing I didn't tell you is that John's body, when I first thought that Karen like backed up and hit him, I would have thought that it was right where Karen was parked. But John's body was found 30 feet from where Karen was parked, like in the opposite direction.
Oh.
So it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
I have so much more I could say, but really, like, I don't even know if I need to say anything more.
I think you've done a good job, though. You gave us enough to contemplate the other side.
I'll just tell you this. Karen did not take the stand in her defense. She did speak to the media. She played a very big part, even though she didn't take the stand. I think she was very present in her defense. She was taking lots of notes. She was talking to her attorneys the entire time. She did not take the stand, but she did speak to the media outside the courthouse. She said, you know, she was asked, "How do you feel about this case against you?" And she said, "There is no case against me. After 8 weeks, it's all smoke and mirrors, and they're going through my private life and trying to contrive a motive that was never there." And I kind of believe it. Like, yes, she wasn't in a good place with her boyfriend. She made some really awful calls. She probably feels like a fucking idiot. And this guy died, and it was really tragic. And I don't know how he died. I can imagine that he got in a fight somehow, or maybe he was, you know, maybe these guys wanted to just give him a little something. He fell, and the dog decided that, you know, was kind of territorial, and they threw him outside. I think they maybe didn't want to kill him. I think they maybe threw him outside thinking that the cold would wake him up and he would be on his way. And then when he wasn't on his way and he died, they were like, "Oh shit," you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think she also needed to take her like the stand. I think that her defense team did a great job. And
yeah, I think from what I saw, they were doing a good job. My point of view of her not being very likable is like the little like clips. I saw some like TikTok and stuff like that is, I mean, she looks smug. Like, so I think that's how they're like, at least from someone who did not do the deep dive on the case, I'm telling you what is getting put out there is she is smug. And in this little argument that the attorney had about the verdict sheet or whatever, she was laughing. The judge had to say, yeah, like, oh, is this funny?
Yeah. Okay.
I think, so, girlfriend, don't be laughing.
Listen, I think that she's got a huge audience outside. She has a million people wearing like Free Karen shirts and pink and being like on her side, which gives you a little bit of, it's like a celebrityism, right? Like,
yeah,
where it's like, no, honey, you still need to eat your humble pie. Like,
yeah,
this isn't over. And she also has that, I mean, I'm sorry, all you Bostonians, like she's got this awful Boston accent that is, Boston accent feels really harsh, you know?
It's, yeah, like, okay, so maybe awful isn't the right word for it.
No, it's just harsh. It's hard.
It's awesome.
But it's
can make you seem more abrasive than
that's
maybe
what it is.
Intended if you're from another part of the country.
It's not like that sweet Southern accent. It's
contrasted with the bless your heart, you know, like whatever. That's not it.
I think that's what makes you go like, oh man. But she, you know, so yes, you would like her to be a little bit more like humble and not laughing at what's going on here, which I can also understand what she feels. And she does probably feel like she's going to get off because she's got all these supporters. She has a lot of them. But I sent that video of the closing arguments to our police friends. And I was like, hey, this guy is good. And I think these police officers have something coming to them. And he wrote, he's good, but it could go either way. Mm. And
oh, yeah,
you just don't know, right?
You just don't know. And you gotta, yeah.
Scary. Scary, scary stuff if you don't know. Holy shit. Okay, so I am coming to California tomorrow. I'll see you.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking we could have dinner Friday night also. Just let you know.
Oh, let's put it out there.
If you're up for it.
Sure.
Sure. Okay, so if you're going to be at VidCon, Gretchen and I are going to be walking around. But you won't even know because it's Monday. It's over. So you just missed us. Oh gosh. Okay. It's midnight. We got to go. And let's see what happens with this Karen Reed. I hope she gets off and she's going to, you know, write a book and make a bunch of money. That's what I think is going to happen. My prediction. She's also going to get like, she also said one day you'll all know what happened, but not today. And so she's going to talk. It's just, how much are people going to pay her? She's going to need a job.
Yeah.
After those attorney fees, she's going to need a big job. Okay. So anyways, if you want more of us, tune in to Patreon, Clink Clink Club, or the bonus on Spotify. We're here for you every Thursday and every Monday on the regular. Clink Clink.
Clink Clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.